Hello and welcome to W Rated, where we willingly watch the world's worst rated movies. Today, you've joined us on our Road to Razzies, a special run of episodes looking at the nominations for the worst films of 2022, according to the controversial Golden Raspberry Awards. For new listeners, I'm Daisy, and as always, I'm joined by podcast co-creator, host, and editor Claire. Claire, do you want to tell us what film we're talking about this episode?
So we are going to be talking about Elvis, which I believe is probably our highest rated of all the films nominated in this year's Razzies. So on Rotten Tomatoes, it is certified fresh with a 77% critic score and a 94% audience score, which is possibly the highest film we've ever had on the show.
I think so. I wonder if we should do a little check at the end, do a bit of a roundup and check. Yeah. But
super high. Is it better than the Flintstones? We can agree to disagree. And on IMDb, it has a 7.4 out of 10. It came out in 2022. Shock. And it is directed by Baz Luhrmann, man who I would have used to say was my favourite director of all time. And also written by Mr. Luhrmann, along with Sam Bromnell and Craig Pearce. It stars Tom Hanks and Austin Butler. Don't know why it's written in that order, other than Tom Hanks is, I guess, more famous. It is nominated for some Oscars also, including Austin Butler for Best Actor. But today we're going to be talking about what I think is the most deserving Razzie nominations of the whole show. It is nominated for Worst Supporting Actor in Tom Hanks and Worst Partnership or Worst Screen Couple for Tom Hanks and his latex-laden face and ludicrous accent. And it's like they listened to my brain whilst I sat in the cinema last summer and watched this film. Because what the fuck was Tom Hanks doing?
He's having a late life crisis. We've discussed this.
Yeah, so this is his second nom. He was also nominated in Pinocchio, again, for crimes against accents. Mr. Hanks.
Oh, Mr. Hanks, what are you doing? Crimes against accents. No, I mean, can't fault that. I don't think in comparison, maybe, I don't remember it as well, his Geppetto was as offensive as this.
No, his Geppetto was not as offensive because I watched Pinocchio with Razzies in mind. I was like, yeah, that is a bad accent.
And also, you would watch Elvis and quite in the same vein as what you've just said, it is a well-lauded film. It's got all of this, you know, it's not just, oh, now we're looking back at it, you had high expectations, but it's crap. It's a good film. So what's he doing in it?
So I've just found my letterbox review. I went to see this on the 24th of July in 2022. I gave it 4 stars. My review is, loses a star due to whatever the fuck Hanks was attempting.
I'm trying to look at what I put. I mean, I think I enjoyed this film because it's Baz Luhrmann. Like, it's got style.
Oh, yeah.
It's got razzmatazz.
Even if you don't like the style, it's a style. It's over
you gotta
the top.
Respect
it's in
it.
Your face. It's...
You've got to put respect on Baz's name.
Absolutely. And I think it worked perfectly for Elvis because it did seem like he had that life of excess and over-the-top luxury, but also kind of like it was all kind of empty.
Yes.
And so I did think it worked perfectly, that over the top. And Austin Butler, like, I have been...
Don't you mean Elvis reincarnated?
I've been a fan of Mr. Butler since Sharpay's Adventure. He is my dream man in that film. He's a little cute, skinny filmmaker dude who likes dogs and helps you do your furniture and helps you paint. Like, the perfect man. He's just, honestly, please go and watch Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure. He is adorable in it. But he also turned up in The Carrie Diaries, which I adored. He was the love interest in The Carrie Diaries. And he was in...
That's the prequel for Sex and
the
City,
Sex and the
right?
City. Terrible prequel for Sex and the City. Brilliant teen show set in the 80s. So,
okay. You
know, that's what you're after. And he was also in a show called Switch at Birth, which I loved. And he was an early season love interest in that. So Austin Butler has been in my life as a good-looking, skinny love interest for a while. So
I remember him from Hannah Montana, I think.
Yeah. He has worked hard. He has done the rounds. He's done the teen circuit. And he is transformed in this. And he is brilliant in this. Do I think he deserves the Oscar? Perhaps not. Do I think he deserves the nom? Absolutely.
Yeah, fair enough. Who else is nominated?
Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
Hai Ki Chan, I pronounced that Ki Hai Chan.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember the fifth.
Sure. Yeah, it's a tough category.
It's a tough
category. Especially for the kind of film that he is in, because it is flashy. It's not a... I mean, it is Oscar bait because it is a biopic, but like, yeah. But good for him for getting numb, for sure. Like,
but yeah, so the whole time I was watching this, I was just like, oh, Baz is on one again. Love to see it. And then I was like, oh, there goes Austin. Go for him. And then it was like, what the fuck is this Colonel Sanders shitty impression? Why is he hitting? Whenever he turned back up, I was like, go away.
It just
took
changed.
Me out of the film.
Yeah, it took me out of the film every single time.
It's the worst casting of the year, in my opinion.
I would love to know whether Baz was just like, Tom put that on the table and he was just like, fuck it, Tom, let's do it.
Yeah.
Or that was actually what he was after.
I don't know, because obviously he does have like manic, like, you know, Moulin Rouge, who is it? What's his name?
The guy that runs the thing.
Well, that very famous actor. British.
Oh, it's not Brendan Gleeson. Oh, what
Jim
is Broadbent. His name? Jim Broadbent, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like Jim Broadbent does an out, like completely off the walls thing in that. But he's able to also show a little bit of heart and a little bit of humanity.
He connects with the characters.
Yeah, and now I was very interested in this, in Tom Hanks' character. I can't remember what his actual name was. Was it just the Colonel? No.
Yeah.
Was it just, oh yeah, it was Colonel Tom Parker.
Tom,
but he was often called the Colonel. I was interested in his character because I'd never heard of this person. It was a really fascinating for me.
The backstory is really fascinating.
I did hear some comments. I think it was someone at it was someone at Reading Festival I was talking to. I don't know why I would talk about Elvis. But they were really annoyed because they didn't like that the film portrayed Elvis as his victim when he was a very successful man, which I can see that argument. But for me, I knew Elvis was successful, but he has a tragic ending to his life. So it was really fascinating to see that perhaps it
and
was...
success isn't everything.
No.
Like,
but it was
he
really
was trapped.
Yeah.
Doesn't how matter how much
his
money
success
he had.
Go wrong? And so
it was against his consent how he got that money towards the end. So I disagree with that heart.
Yeah. But so it's fascinating me to see this other like hidden story. And I think it's as well, like we're both interested in Hollywood and behind the scenes stuff. So again, like, very interesting to see how abuse of power has been there forever and continues to be there. And that was, you know, fascinating for me. But yeah, he was just horrifically miscast that I couldn't take it very seriously.
I couldn't digest it as him being a whole real character.
And a menacing character. He should be menacing,
interacting
scary.
With the other characters in that setting. It was, I'm watching a film, oh, now Tom Hanks in makeup has turned up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what it felt like. And the thing is, we're going, you know, we've done our other episode in Jurassic World. Like, that specifically made me angry about what I didn't like. This, it diluted it for me because this is, I was really, like you said, you're really interested in this backstory. It really got me, like, the dramatization of that is really upsetting. But there was just something so moustache twiddling, Dr. Eggman kind of camp villain about it that just didn't weirdly fit the rest of the film. Which is unfortunate, because like you say, if you can have characters like that that are over the top and camp and like completely off the wall, but it's almost as if, you know, the way he presented the character, it didn't seem to gel or make sense. It felt like an acting choice rather than a character choice.
And I felt like you could see him acting.
Yeah.
Which you never want. I just, it makes me sad. It made me sad to realise Hanks doesn't have the range.
Yeah.
And COVID that's okay. Brain. Well, yeah, he nearly died for this production. He got COVID.
Oh, is that how he got COVID?
He was in Australia filming this when he got COVID.
Oh, shit, that makes sense.
And it's like, hon, that was the role. That was the one.
That was the one? You threatened your life. I don't know, like, Now that I think it's interesting though, because at the time when I was watching it, I was thinking all of this, but now I know what to expect. Going back into it, could I buy into it a little bit more? Maybe, if I know that that's what he's doing. I watched it quite a while ago. I rented it. I didn't go to the cinema. So I think I watched it towards the end of the year. But I think, yeah. I mean, it's only nominated for those two. Nothing else. It's got fantastic, you know, commendations across the board for everything else. For me, it wasn't just... I think for me, it felt a bit messy overall, the film. Like, there's certain bits, it was just a bit too chaotic and a bit too long for me that dropped it down
definitely a little bit more. Long.
So I gave it 3.5.
Mm-hmm. I felt like the chaos was intentional, which I think is why I did give it that 4.
That's
I completely
fair,
agree. It was chaotic and it was a bit whiplashy.
Yeah. So I think for whatever reason, that moment in time that I was watching it, whether it was what I didn't expect or not, but I think, I don't know, whether, I wonder if my enjoyment of it all as a whole and its individual parts would potentially go up a little bit. Now I know what to expect, which is kind of a recurring theme for me.
I think my enjoyment would go up with a different actor in that role. Maybe he needed to be there because he is kind of the only big name. So maybe it was a financial...
Listen, if you're going to get a chance to get Tom Hanks in your film, no matter what he's doing, you are going to take it.
But we need to know if it involves doing an accent.
I feel like now people need to learn. People have now seen, oh, maybe we don't. I've got a question for you. Who do you think would have been good in that role instead of him?
I don't think he could have done the accent because you brought him up. Brendan Gleeson.
Really? I was thinking Jim Broadbent back.
I just think maybe Brendan Gleeson has a menacing face. He obviously has a really endearing face when he
Jim
wants
Broadbent's
to.
Eyes are too kind.
Yeah. But because Brendan Gleeson does the thing in Paddington where he's got the menacing face and then he has the smile and you're like, oh, he's a nice prisoner. But I don't know if he could do the accent and I wouldn't want to force him to do it because the accent was my biggest issue.
So it's a southern accent, isn't it? So who's naturally that way inclined?
I just think as well, it needed to not be someone in latex, like, and not in a fat
suit. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Which, again, is why I feel like Brendan Gleeson has the stature to, he might need to put a bit of a fat suit on, but he has the build.
I just, if you have to put makeup on someone to make them look like someone else when there are other people that already look more like that, like, it's just dodgy. just expand your thoughts on who can play your characters.
Michael Keaton, again, would need a fat suit, but I just feel like Michael Keaton can do an old villain if he wants. Because he can also be very charismatic, because that was the thing of this guy. He needed to be both charismatic but villainous. Michael Keaton's not right, but I feel like I'm getting closer. I don't know, because when you look up actors over 50, you just get the hottest actors you didn't know were over 50. Oh, and I'm I don't need them.
Don't want George Clooney in this.
No, that's it. It keeps being like, did you know George Clooney? I'm like, I did know that George Clooney is an actor over 50, actually. Thank you. I am aware.
Actually, I did know.
Okay. American actors over 60.
Oh, what about Donald Sutherland?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's a fucking lootly.
Yeah?
Yeah, would need a fat suit still, but he's got the menace.
Well, I don't know. He seems to have lost weight quite a bit recently.
Boy, I also feel like wasn't this guy meant to be real big because he was so gluttonous and was taking on all the... Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole other debate about that, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a whole other conversation.
It is. But absolutely on the menace there.
Yeah.
100%.
But I can see him being charming and I can see him doing a good accent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Fair play. That's who I'm tossing into the ring.
I think we kind of talked around it. I think these are the most deserving nominations of the year. I don't always agree that the Razzies should exist, but I agree with them entirely on this one.
Fair play. Yeah, I have to say, I can't argue with this. It was quite the spectacle, especially when it's in a film that has done, not that it's done so well, but that you can see how many people do like the rest of it. Like, it works for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But that, if that's the general consensus across everyone, which I think most people sort of said, some people liked it, but most people like, I think it's fair to say this is a little bit more of an objective nomination than some of most of the others. And probably, unfortunately for Tom, probably the most well-deserved as well.
Yeah. Sorry, Tom, but you know, you're going to get that Toy Story 5 money now. And just,
yeah.
You know, ruin my childhood to be of the internet.
Leave it alone. That's all that's on the matter. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We hope you can join us for the next episode where we keep running down that road on the way to the Razzies 2023. See you then.